son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. We have four accounts of the gospel: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, two of them, Matthew and John, were actual apostles. But Luke and Mark were not of the original apostles, but Luke took his account mainly from Paul, the apostle, and Mark took his account from Peter. Verses 5 through 7 is what is called the Minor Commission, or Lesser Commission, in which the disciples who were just appointed apostles, they were just made apostles, were commanded by Jesus to perform the Lesser or Minor Commission. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not. This commission was strictly to the Jews, not to the half-Jews, not to the non-Jews, but strictly to the Jews. And Paul makes a reference to this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. What saves you? The gospel saves you if you obey it. If you don't know the gospel, you cannot obey it. Thus, you cannot be saved. Okay? And the gospel is the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. In Romans 2:10, he says, let me finish this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 2:10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile or Greek. Greeks were Gentiles included. In Luke 10, verses 1 through 12, it shows that this lesser commission, that Jesus appoints 70 also. In Matthew 10:6, it says, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The condition of the Jews were as lost sheep. The condition of the Jews were as lost sheep. Their false shepherds have deceived them and had not fed them. They had not taken care of them as they should, thus fulfilling certain scriptures. If you would turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2, and it says this, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? And Jeremiah 23, 1 to 6, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. This is nothing new. What was happening there in Jesus' time was nothing new. Verse 2, Jeremiah 23, verse 2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. We know that word in the New Testament is episcopos. That is the same word for bishop. If you have a bishop of 3,000 and he's supposed to visit them, how long would it take one person, to visit 3,000 people in 1 year? If he visited them one person a day, it would take him 7 years to visit one person a day. We have bishops and shepherds, and we should have enough that we can comfortably visit people that are in need, visit the flock. Brother Kelly talks about herding cats, and I can't get a good. The longer I am here at the Main Street Church of Christ and doing what I'm doing, the more I understand what he's talking about. Cats, they don't go around, cats will jump on your head. Cats will jump on your back. Cats will You know, they're gone. Cats, oh. Well, enough about cats, okay? Back to Jeremiah. And I will, verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries whither I have driven them. Let's go back to verse 2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock, ye have driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Verse 3, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them. And I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. Notice he puts a plural on that. Shepherds. So he got apostles to give forth the apostles' doctrine, which is the doctrine of Christ. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And this is the good shepherd. How many good shepherds are there? One good shepherd, that is Jesus Christ. And he sets forth shepherds to do his work. And that is the work of the church. Behold, verse 5 again, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, that's Jesus, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. The Jews were desolate, in a fearful, desolate condition, whose end was very tragic. For their sheep were let as prey for the ravening wolves and beasts of the field without the protection and the guidance of the good shepherd. Jesus is that good shepherd. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And John 10:14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. I would I would urge you to read that whole chapter concerning who are God's sheep. Those that follow, those that obey, those that do his will are his sheep. Those that don't are not. Simple as that. Okay. Back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for download of great acapella singing and gospel preaching. Matthew 10:7. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This minor or lesser commission, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's close. It's nearby. And this was to raise the consciousness of the people, to get them to expect that something extremely great and extremely wonderful was about to happen. The kingdom of heaven is very close. Matthew 10, verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Do this without price. Sell no miracles, as we see done today. Sell no miracles, where some say, give so much, and you will receive healing and a blessing. Sell no miracles. Or some say, pay such and such a price, and you will receive your breakthrough miracle. He who preaches to get rich, remember this, he who preaches to get rich for the sake of riches is the servant of the devil. Don't be a servant of the devil. Be a servant of God. We should preach for the sake of winning souls to Christ. Don't take any bribes. Don't be a hireling. Give, God's gift is free. God's gift is free. Romans chapter 5, verses 15 to 18. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Verse 16, and not as it was done by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Now, I ask you this. Who ever done a miracle in the Bible and got paid? What true prophet of God ever did a miracle, a sign or wonder in the scripture for a price? Do you remember the story of Naaman the leper? Who, after he was healed by Elisha the prophet, Elisha would take no money nor gift. And why should he? Was it Elisha that healed Naaman, or was it God? It was God that healed him. Now, do we know Elisha's servant, who was Gehazi? But Gehazi, Elisha's servant, went afterwards and received gifts from Naaman. Does anybody know that scripture? You can refer to 2 Kings chapter 5. Read that whole chapter. And Naaman, as the result of Gehazi taking gifts from Naaman, he became leprous. Back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 9. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. God forbid if some say, now listen to this. God forbid if some say, I'll listen to you, but you got to pay me for my time. That's absurd. Those, they aren't worthy of the kingdom. Shall I say more? Those are not worthy of the kingdom and are worse than a hireling. I'll come to church, but you got to pay me. What kind of garbage is that? That's garbage. You should be coming to God out of a loving heart, a pure heart. I can go on and on about it, but I'm not. Back to the word of God. Verse 10. Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Lean on the everlasting arms of God. Learn to depend on him to provide for you, and he will provide for you. Verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. In Luke 10:5, we see that the salutation was peace, shalom. Luke 10:5, it says, and into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. Jesus himself uses this salutation in Luke 24:36, where he says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. I love peace. I'd like to be peaceful. I'd like to have peace in my life, wouldn't you? Well, you're going to have it without Jesus. You think you might, but you won't. Jesus is the way to perfect peace. Verse 13, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Those who would hear and believe what the disciples had to say, were worthy. How did you know where they were worthy? Because they heard and believed the doctrine of the disciples, of Christ, through the disciples. Verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. They were to shake off the dust of their feet. Isaiah 52:1. Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Those that would reject this were considered unclean. Verse 2. Isaiah 52:2, shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. This heavy burden, but Jesus has his yoke and his burden. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Did I say that right? His yoke is easy and his burden is light, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Do the will of God, and there is peace in that. Hallelujah. Shake thyself from the dust. Verse 2 again. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. In Acts 18, verse 5, I'm going to read this to you. And when Silas and Timotheus came from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ, and they rejected it. Verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. Look at Acts chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Verse 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. This here fulfills scripture. If you look at Isaiah 35 and 8. Isaiah 35 and 8. That's a good scripture. I love that one. It says, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Those that reject the gospel, those that reject the kingdom, the apostles, the disciples were to shake the dust off of their feet to show that they were rejected. Back again, the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up therein. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. This everlasting joy? This everlasting joy is the joy of the Holy Spirit, is it not? And the apostles had that. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 15. Yes, 10:15. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So those in the cities where the disciples were to go to preach the kingdom, those that rejected it, it says here, and I'm going to read this again. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. For the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Notice he says land and city. This city was going to be destroyed with a destruction worse than the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. This city, Jerusalem, was going to be destroyed, and it was going to be worse than how Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Okay? The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD was more horrific than Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened there at that time. In the tense of the verb, if you look at it, it says, it shall be, in that tense, it is used because at that time, Jerusalem had not been destroyed yet. The destruction had not happened yet. The phrase, in the day of judgment, the phrase, in the day of judgment, in this verse, Jesus says this foretelling of Jerusalem's destruction. And when was the Jews destroyed? 70 AD. Now, I've come to this conclusion for the following reasons. You know, one, the commission given to them was to the Jews only. Jesus is giving them the minor commission to the Jews only. I'm trying to work these glasses. I need to get better eyesight. The commission was given to the Jews only, thus there was to be a judgment for the Jews only. You get that? And then two, the Great Commission was given to everyone. Thus there is a great judgment for the whole world. You got that? You getting that? When Jesus come in the clouds, this is called the parousia or second coming of the Lord. So Jesus was talking to the Jews. He said there's going to be a destruction and it's going to be more tolerable in Sodom and Gomorrah than for that city. They're going to be destroyed with a more horrific destruction. Now, in Matthew 24, let's see. The Great Commission is to everyone. Thus, there is a great judgment for the whole world when Jesus comes in the clouds. This is called the parousia, or second coming of Christ, of the Lord. In Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3, we'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123, or visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for download of great a cappella singing and gospel preaching. Anybody has orange in here today? Something about that color orange. Anyway, in Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3, after Jesus speaks of the temple, after Jesus speaks of the temple, where there would be not left one stone upon another, the disciples asked him two questions. What are the two questions that the disciples asked him? We'll go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not these things? Verily I say unto you, that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus again is foretelling of Jerusalem's destruction. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, now, these are the two questions. Tell us, when shall these things be? First question. Well, what things? Well, when the destruction of Jerusalem, when the temple would be destroyed? And then the second question. It says, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, the parousia, and the end of the world? So they're asking him, well, when is Jerusalem, when is it going to be destroyed? Not like they really knew. And then they ask him another question, when is going to be the end of the world? So that's two questions that Jesus gives two different answers to. In Matthew 24, verse 4, verses following, Jesus gives the answer to both questions. In verse 4 through 34, the destruction of Jerusalem, with warning and signs. Well, let's go to Matthew 24, verse 33. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, verses 4 through 34, I'm going to say this again, was concerning the destruction of Jerusalem. I'm getting tongue twisted here. Jesus gives the answers to both questions, again, verses 4 through 34 in Matthew 24. The destruction of Jerusalem is with signs and warnings. And in Matthew 24, verses 35 and verses following, the second coming of Christ is with no warning. Sometimes I search things out and I come to one conclusion, and sometimes other ministers come to another. This is not a salvation issue. But if I come to a conclusion, I'd like to give for my conclusion. The destruction of Jerusalem was with signs and warnings. Who knows when is the second coming of Christ? Who knows when Christ is coming? Well, Christ's second coming, or the parousia, will be, there will be no signs nor warnings. Okay? And I'm going to read a couple of verses. Heaven and earth shall pass. This is Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Verse 36. But of that day, what day? Well, when heaven and earth shall pass away. The day when heaven and earth passes. And hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Christ directed his followers here to imitate the serpent in its serpents, believe it or not, they avoid danger. Serpents, they'll hide in a rock. How often do you see a serpent around here anywhere? I mean, spiritually, you probably see some in any church. But really, serpents are wise. They avoid danger. They avoid harm, if at all they can help it. And Jesus is telling us to be that same way. So when a person, I try to avoid arguments. And when a person, when I see the argument afar off, I'd rather just shut up and leave. And I had an incident where one lady, she was talking to me, and then all of a sudden she just went wild and started yelling. And I deliberately kept my tone and asked her to leave. And as she was leaving, I was walking behind her, and I deliberately kept that low tone. A week later, she comes back, and I'm like, okay, welcome back. But next time she does that, she's going to be out of here, and then I can't put up with all that stuff. I got too much to do. I'm too busy. But after that, she was talking, and one of the brothers was standing there, and she said, oh, yeah, we really got into it, man. You know, I yelled at you, and you yelled at me. And I said, no, I didn't yell at you. I didn't. And then she said, yes, you did. And I said, no, you didn't. I just didn't do it. And, you know, I walked away, and I left, and I closed the door behind it because I don't need to entertain that lie. You know, there's a, when you're a minister here and you're preaching, a lot of people's going to lie about you. Of course that's going to be happening. I don't entertain that stuff. Oh, yeah? Oh, good. Well, I heard that one too. You know, I'm trying the best I can, we should be, to do the will of God. And you're going to hear lies. And you know what? People believe the lie before they actually come up to you and say, hey, look, I heard this about you. Is it true? I'm like, are you kidding? Are you joking? Do you actually believe that? Some of the things I hear, it's outrageous. Back to Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I wasn't going to harm nobody. I just walk out of the way. You know, doves got wings? Doves got wings. So I just take my spiritual wings and I fly out of there. Get out of danger, guys. Christ directed his followers here to imitate the serpent. Okay? So said Christ to his disciples, you need caution and wisdom in the midst of a world that will seek your lives. You need caution and wisdom in the midst of a world that will seek your lives. Believe it or not, the devil is trying to destroy me. And he'll do it any way he can. But we got God. What are we worried about the devil for? God is stronger than the devil. But we bear all his minions. We bear all the disruptions and we bear all that because every soul is a soul that can be won to Christ. So if a person is in wickedness, well, God's stronger than the devil. We try to make that person a Christian. Got that? Christ is telling his disciples that they need to use caution in avoiding danger. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. You feel that evil coming in? You see it? Get out of there. Just get out of there. Some guys are coming in, and you know who they are, and you know their type, and they come in drinking and cursing and whatever. Just get away from them. Just get out of there. Yeah. Proverbs 14 and 16 again. 14:16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 10. This is where Jesus commissions the 70 also. It wasn't just 12, but 70. Luke 10:1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. The 12 apostles were associated with the 12 tribes of Israel, but the 70 were associated with the 70 elders that were appointed by Moses. Do you remember them? And had now become, which had now become the great Sanhedrin court. Now, the great Sanhedrin court, which was comprised about 70 members. You know, I got to write down easier words so that my tongue doesn't twist all over. And I have to get it unloosened. Okay. The 12 were associated with the 12 tribes of Israel. The great Sanhedrin court was comprised of 70 members. The word Sanhedrin, by the way, is the Greek word for council. In Exodus 24:1, you can refer to Exodus 24:1. Numbers 11, 16, and 17, you can refer to that concerning the 70 elders that were appointed by God through Moses. But back to Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Therefore saith he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Okay, we know this. The shepherds were lazy, and the harvest was spoiling in the fields. You know, in America today, about 20 to 25% of all produce that is grown in America today spoil. Why? Because they are not harvested. Not because there's not millions and millions of people in America, but because there is a lack of people that want to harvest. Because of laziness, people don't want to do the work needed. Does that sound familiar concerning spiritual things? I need to do more of the work of God. People don't want to do the work needed. They'd rather be doing something else or nothing at all. What is the harvest? What is the harvest? These are the souls who are ready to receive the truth. And they are very numerous, but the laborers are few. There are multitudes of scribes, Pharisees, and priests, but there are few that actually work. Jesus wishes for laborers and not bums who are either idle or slaves to the pleasures of sins and the perversion of riches. Luke 10:3. Go your ways. Behold, I sent you forth as lambs among wolves, as laborers of the Lord, we that try to win souls to Christ, we should expect, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 says this, yeah, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We shall expect it. We should expect it. Verse 4, carry neither purse nor scrip, nor horses, nor salute no man by the way. Verse 5, and into whatsoever house ye enter. Well, let me mention something to this. I got to say this. God's business versus personal business. Be about God's business. Don't get too caught up in the affairs of men while you're trying to do the will of God. Don't spend too much time doing nothing, wasting time. I got to learn this myself. And it's going to take me a while, but I'm going to learn it. Manage your time wisely. Manage your time wisely. Although you got to take time to rest. And I'm telling you, I'm getting little of this lately. Don't be about people that'll get you in trouble, who'll lead you astray. Stay with good people. Verse 5. We're in Luke 10, verse 5. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace, shalom, be to this house. Again, this was the common Jewish salutation. Verse 6. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Go not from house to house. Don't get greedy. Don't go from house to house as a glutton or lustful, grabbing everything that your lustful eyes desires. Don't double dip. Don't double dip. If we're doing what God wants us to do, if we're doing what he wants us to do, he will provide for us. If we rely on God, he will provide for us. The lesser or minor commission is different from the great commission in that it was to the Jews only. I'm repeating this. They were to go from city to city to tell them of the coming kingdom of the Church of Christ. Luke 10:8. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. Those that received it, they said, the kingdom of God is nigh unto you. Verse 10, but unto whatever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So, if they didn't receive it, you tell them anyway. If they did receive it, you tell them anyway. Of course, the dust of heathen lands, the dust of heathen lands was considered to be polluted. The dust of those heathen lands was considered to be polluted, and Israel was considered to be holy. Every place that did not receive the message of the kingdom of God would become like heathen lands, Whether the people received it or not, the disciples were still to tell them that the kingdom of God was at hand. In the Great Commission, we see that the kingdom of God has arrived, and we must obey the gospel to enter into it. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are one and the same. This is the church of Christ. One must obey the gospel to be added to the church. In Acts chapter 2:41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Verse 2, Acts 2:47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved." The Lesser Commission, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's coming. It's on the way. It's near. It's at hand. You can almost touch it. The Lesser Commission. The Great Commission, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is here. That is the church of Christ. It is here. And how do you enter in? You enter in by obeying the gospel. So in order to obey the gospel, you got to know what the gospel is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15,
verses 1 through 4,
"Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Now, if the gospel is the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, how does one obey death, burial, and resurrection? There must be a death, a burial, a resurrection in your life. Now, first of all and foremost, you must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You must believe that he is the Christ. If you don't believe he is the Christ, then I can do nothing for you but to try to convince you that he is. So, death to sin, you repent of your sins. Burial, you're baptized in water. And resurrection, you receive the Holy Spirit, and you must walk in the Spirit. If any of you are not Christians, you need to become one. If any of you are not Christians, you can become one. You can come up, believe the gospel, and we'll get you baptized. If any of you are in need of prayer, we have response cards in the pews. You can write them up and bring them up to the front, and we will pray for you. Why don't you do that right now as we stand and sing our invitational song?
We march in the blood of the Lamb. Are you on the spotless, spotless, spotless?